In the name of Jesus, amen. The text for our sermon is from Luke chapter 2, particularly this verse. The shepherds, after hearing the angels, said, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Well, Christians this time of year often say, "Keep Christ in Christmas." And that's a good reminder for a lot of folks. We can become easily distracted by all the lights and the presents and the feasting. Right? Talk about a few of you ladies, right? Feasting upon feasting, right? And the gatherings, and it can make us lose sight of the reason for the season, as we often say. But there's more to Christmas than to remember an event that happened a long time ago. The other half of the word Christmas is Mass. The word Mass means the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Although it sounds like a Catholic word, it's really a Lutheran word too. Christmas is the Christ Mass. In Christ Mass, God comes to us in a physical form. Instead of being only a divine spirit that cannot be seen, heard, or touched, that cannot be painted or sculpted, that has no name, that is independent of space and time, well, God Himself breaks into space and time, becomes material, speaks to us, and becomes physically part of us through this miraculous meal. Is it too good to be true? Well, popular media would like you to think so. Socialites all over the world would like you to think Jesus is just some myth, some made-up character in your favorite book or Christmas carol. But Luke doesn't begin his account with once upon a time in a land very far away. Rather, he begins his account, this gospel, like all other classical historical biographies. He writes, "Jesus was born during the reign of Augustus Caesar, under the gubernatorial administration of one Quirinius of Syria, during the year of the imperial census." That's a mouthful. Try reading that to a few kids, right? Start a story off that way. It is concrete and precise, rooted in time and place, written with journalistic authority that you just don't find in mythology or fables. That's because Jesus is historical. He's concrete and beyond dispute. His miracles and teachings were widely reported in both biblical and non-biblical sources. We have four separate and definitive contemporary biographies of Jesus, much more than we have of even Julius Caesar or Plato or Socrates. Jesus of Nazareth was indeed crucified, died, and was buried, all under the watchful guard of detachments of professional Roman soldiers, top of the line. And on the Sunday after his crucifixion, Jesus' guards were comatose at his tomb, and the tomb was empty. No one disputes these facts, not even Jesus' enemies. They have to pay the soldiers to make up a tale about it. And Jesus appeared to hundreds of people after his resurrection. You see, Jesus is no Zeus or Apollo, no Superman or Merlin the Wizard. Jesus is not the stuff of legends or even of spirituality. For Jesus is not merely spirit, but is completely human. His very real physical life turned the world upside down, and his very real physical death changed the cosmos and has set in motion the final abolition of all evil. Jesus died for you and as a sacrifice for your sins to clear your account and give you the Christmas present of eternal righteousness before God. These are historical facts. And because they're facts and they're hard to dispute, Christ's enemies are on the attack, fighting hard to remove Christ from Christmas and turn it into a holiday about gift-giving alone, spending time with family, and having glad tidings in your hearts. These are all good things, but not as a replacement for Christ. They try to remove him from Christmas. Christ from Christmas. How can you mess with that word too much, right? This happens outside of Christendom, but within Christendom too. Our enemies try to remove the Mass from Christmas. It's in the Word. But this cannot be undone. For when God took on flesh, he took on a specific location for us, for our sake. And to this day, he assumes a form in which we can participate physically, tangibly. This is why the angels of God told the shepherds not only that Christ was born, but where he could be found. In the flesh, in a particular place where he could be seen and heard and received with exceeding joy. The specific place for us today, dear Christians, is in the church amongst our fellow believers, gathered to Christ's word and sacraments to receive Jesus in word and in deed and in truth. Now, just as the Lord Jesus lay in that feeding trough on Christmas night, that feeding trough for animals, we call the manger, in the town called the House of Bread, Bethlehem, so does Jesus, this day, come in bread and wine to us, for us to eat and to drink for our forgiveness, life, and salvation at this manger of the communion rail, a feeding trough for us. Here you will find him wrapped in humble signs, lying on the table, then into the hands, then into the mouth, then into the heart and the soul of all the faithful. Here you will behold him in flesh and blood, your Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is the Christ Mass, and it takes place more than once a year. It happens every Lord's Day. We Lutherans confess, and this is from our confessions that go all the way back to the 1500s there. We do not abolish the Mass. There's that word. It's not Catholic. It's Lutheran. We do not abolish the Mass, but religiously keep and defend it. In our churches, Mass is celebrated every Lord's Day and on other festivals when the sacrament is offered to those who wish for it after they have been examined and absolved. Now, those of you who wish Christmas could come more than once a year, I know my children do. Well, guess what? It does, right? The miracle of Christmas happens every time you are in church with God's people, every time you eat this Christ Mass supper. Week in and week out, you are partaking of that peace that comes from your Father who loves you and wants to give you everything that he is. Even his own son, that babe of Bethlehem, your life and your light forever. So rejoice, my brothers and sisters, and let us make haste like the shepherds and go to the manger of our own day. Let us go to the communion rail, bend the knee in adoration, and behold this miracle divine. Which the Lord has made known to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.